Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening in. Hope everything's going well with you this morning. God's blessed us with some additional rain last night, and we were pretty well filled up with that, but I think the farmers are still happy about it. But we're glad to receive His blessings always, and we're thankful to our God who gives us all things to enjoy and certainly blesses our lives richly. And because of that, we want to honor Him. We want to glorify Him and recognize Him as our God. And we're going to be doing that today at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'd like you to be with us if you would. We meet for Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30 this morning, and again at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're coming together at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're in the Athens area, we'd love for you to be with us at 9:30 this morning to honor our God who blesses us so richly. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus was standing trial for His life before a Roman governor by the name of Pontius Pilate. And he told Pilate in the midst of their discussion that he had come to bear witness to the truth. And he said, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." That's John chapter 18 and verse 37 in our Bibles. "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." That's what Jesus said. And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Yeah, that's quite a question, isn't it? What is truth? What is truth to you this morning? What does truth mean? Is it just, you know, everybody has a different opinion about what truth is? You have your truth. I have my truth. Is that what truth is? Is truth really flexible? Is truth something that's solid, though, and kind of knocks us down and is a reality that you can't get around? What is truth? That's what Pilate asked Jesus, but Pilate didn't stay for the answer. He sort of asked it as a rhetorical question and just sort of walks away and goes out and talks to the Jews again. I don't think Pilate was really interested in what the truth is. Sort of reminds me of what Winston Churchill said one time, that men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened. And I think that's probably the situation with Pilate in John chapter 18. But we want to examine this question this morning. What is truth? How should we feel about the truth? What should we do with the truth? But mainly try to get some kind of an understanding in the world in which we live as to what truth actually is, because there are a whole lot of different opinions and views about that. And a lot of people, as Churchill described, once they're confronted with the truth, they just sort of go on as if nothing happened. We're living in a world in which truth is not respected, is not sought really very much, if you think about it. It's very similar to the world in which Isaiah lived way back in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14, Isaiah said, "Justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter." Truth is fallen in the street. What a description of a society that wasn't really interested in the truth. That was the situation. Isaiah's prophesying 2,700 years ago is the situation back then. Seems to me it could be the situation now as well. People don't seem to care much about the truth, whether it's God's truth in the Bible or simple facts regarding what's really going on in the world or in their personal lives. Self-justification, moral compromise are just slaying truth every day in greater and greater proportions. And there are not many people who are going to stand up and fight for the truth and say the truth, no matter what it costs them. People are always spinning the truth, trying to get everybody to accept their view of things. Isn't that how the world is today? Jeremiah 9 and verse 3, Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, says, "Like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies." You can picture a guy shooting an arrow, and he bends his bow to shoot the arrow. And Jeremiah says the people of his day were shooting out lies like that. They were bending their bows to tell lies. He says they bent their tongues to tell lies. "They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. They proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me," says the Lord. Well, those descriptions from Jeremiah and Isaiah of how people were dealing with the truth and treating the truth in ancient times, as I said, are pretty accurate descriptions of our society even today, perhaps. About 30 years ago, the Barna organization did a survey of Americans, and one of the questions that was asked is this: do you agree strongly, agree somewhat, disagree somewhat, or disagree strongly with the following statement? There is no such thing as absolute truth, and different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. That's really the question I think that we need to examine this morning. In that survey, only 28% of the respondents expressed a strong belief in absolute truth. In other words, 72% had some doubt that there was such a thing as absolute truth. And more surprisingly, only 23% of people who identified themselves as born again or evangelical Christians accepted the idea of absolute truth. 23%. Here are people who claim to be Christians and yet turn around and say there's no such thing as absolute truth. What a telling revelation. If more than 75% of people who claim to follow Christ, people who claim to believe in a certain God, say that nothing can be known for certain, what does this indicate about their faith? Are they not convinced that God exists? Are they not convinced that Jesus exists? Is that something that's open to question? Where is our faith if that's the way we look at truth? The reality is that God is truth. God created the heavens and the earth. Eternal life awaits the believers. These are truths that are expressed in God's word. And yet, if you don't believe in absolute truth, how can you believe in those things? Friends, we need to be valiant for the truth. We need to be understanding what truth is from a biblical standpoint. I understand, I've taken philosophy classes in college and whatnot. I understand how the world defines truth in a way that's different from what the Bible defines it. But we're talking about the way that leads to life. We're talking about what the scriptures tell us about reality, about spiritual realities. And we need to understand if we're claiming to be Christians that truth is an absolute thing. It's not a matter of opinion. You can have your opinion about this or that. I can have my opinion about the truth even. But that doesn't change the truth. And that's what we need to see this morning about the nature of truth and answering the question, what is truth? So let's start with this. God is truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, the text says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. All His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. Here's the nature of God. He is solid. He is immovable. He is truth. His truth is absolute and enduring. That's the way it's always presented in the Bible. It's not a thing that's flexible. It's not like that at all. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, the psalmist says, The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. His truth endures to all generations. And then when we come over to the New Testament, we see that Jesus is the very epitome of the truth. He says about Himself in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. So the way that leads to life is through Jesus Christ, and He is the truth of that way. He is the truth. The Bible also says about Jesus in the book of Hebrews that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's because He's the truth, and the truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God is truth and Jesus is truth, the love and desire for absolute truth really ought to burn within everyone who desires to be a follower of God. Everybody who wants to walk the way that leads to life, that winds up in an eternal relationship with God in heaven. If that's your goal, if that's your desire in this world, that means that you would be a lover of truth, a seeker of truth, somebody who desires the truth. It's only the person with truth in his heart that has an abiding relationship with God. Only that person. In Psalm 15, verse 1, the psalmist asks the question, Lord, who may abide in Your tabernacle? Who may dwell in Your holy hill? So he's asking the question, well, who can be with You, Lord? Who can have a lasting relationship with You? And then he comes back and answers the question, He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. So people who have an abiding relationship with God are people who speak the truth in their hearts, who have the truth within them. The truth should occupy the inward man, the inward part of everyone who wants an everlasting relationship with God. Simple as that. So when we turn over to the pages of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So here are the things that we're supposed to be thinking about, the things that are to dwell within us. And the first of those things that are mentioned are the things that are true. Let's think about things that are true. I'm afraid in the world that we're living in, a lot of folks spend a lot of time thinking about things that aren't true or that can't be known to be true. And it's a sad but true reality in the world in which we live. Our problem is that we're occupying our hearts and minds with misinformation, with falsehoods, with incomplete information about all sorts of things. And as a result of that, we, you know, get in conflict with others who think differently about that. And it's all because everybody doesn't have the truth. You say, well, I have my truth and you have your truth. Well, there's no such thing. Truth is truth. Okay? So that's what we all need to come to in every matter, whether you're talking about political and social issues or you're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is the truth. The psalmist said in Psalm 51 and verse 6 about God, he said, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." So what God wants is truth within us. And when truth is within us, then we'll be living truth and following truth, and we'll be acceptable to God and in a relationship with Him. But that's not the case with so many folks in the world today, just as it was not the case in the time of Isaiah, where he said, and again in Isaiah 59:14, that truth had fallen in the street. Wasn't the case in the time of Jeremiah, where like their bow, people had bent their tongues for lies. They were not valiant for the truth. You know, when you allow falsehood to dwell within you, or things that you don't know certainly to be true to dwell within you, you sort of become like an unattended garden that is overrun with weeds. And pretty soon, the heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error is just going to be nothing but weeds, a vast wilderness. And we need to clear out of our lives, out of our hearts, out of our inward thinking, things that we don't know absolutely to be true, and seek that which is true. Our desire and joy is to see and know the truth. The wise man of Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it." Here's this valuable commodity that everyone should be seeking, everyone should be desiring, everyone should be expending their energies to get and to understand, to buy the truth and do not sell it. Of course, there's a lot of talk today in the world about love and the nature of love. And as one old song says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And boy, that's sure the truth. We need love. But do you realize that love is something that rejoices in the truth? Love doesn't pretend like the truth is not the truth. Love doesn't, you know, tell lies to spare people's feelings because, you know, they don't want them to hear the truth. The Bible says about love, one of the greatest explanations of the very nature of love is found in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And among the things that said about love is that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. And so if we love the truth, we'll choose the truth. We'll follow God's word because God's word is truth. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus prayed about his apostles, "Sanctify them by your truth," praying to God. He says, "Your word is truth." God's word is truth. And so if we love the truth, we'll choose the truth, and that means we'll follow God's word. God's word. In the 119th Psalm and verse 30, the psalmist said, "I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me." The psalmist chose the way of truth because he chose God's judgments, God's ways. Way back in Joshua 24, of course, Joshua challenged the people of Israel to choose God. He says, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. And he challenges them, choose you this day whom you will serve. But he's telling them to serve the Lord in truth, in actuality. That's really the significance of the word truth there. So if we love the truth, we're going to choose the truth that is in God's word. We're going to be following God. We're going to be walking this way that leads to life, even though it is a difficult and narrow way. We will be doing that. The truth will guide us in that way. We will not only seek the truth and follow the truth, but we will speak the truth, that which is found in God's word, that which agrees with reality in life, instead of, you know, things that people spin and put different meanings on than their real meanings, or tell only a certain amount of facts of certain situations rather than all the facts. When we're living our lives and walking the way that leads to life, we will accept truth that agrees with reality, because that's the nature of truth. The Proverbs, in Proverbs 8 and verse 7, there the wise man says, my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. We sometimes want to shade the truth to spare people's feelings or to make ourselves look better, don't we? That's common reasons that people don't want to tell the truth. And that's true and factual when it comes to how people deal with God's word as well. Because what truth is going to do is it's going to tell folks that they're not living right, okay? The scriptures outline God's will for mankind. Tell us a whole lot about the human condition, what our problems are, and the solutions to those problems. It tells us the difference between right and wrong. When people hear what God has said about what's right and what's wrong, they want to shade the meaning of all of that. And they'll either try to twist the scriptures or just reject the scriptures entirely. That's the reality of the world that we're living in. Just like you might not want to tell your friends some truth about them that they may need to hear because it's something that's really hindering their lives, but you don't want to tell it to them because it's going to hurt their feelings. Even so, when it comes to spiritual truth, there are those that know spiritual truth but don't want to share it because it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. And then there are those that don't want to examine the truth because they're afraid their feelings are going to get hurt. Now, what we're saying this morning is that's not going to be acceptable to God. God, if you're going to be with him, if you're going to have fellowship with him, you got to love the truth. You got to love the truth no matter what it is. You know, Paul asked the Galatians a question. He said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul was telling the Galatians some things that were hard to accept, that were going to demand that they change. And yet, probably some of them didn't like that. So he asked that question, you know, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul wasn't afraid to tell people the truth. We shouldn't be either. And we shouldn't be afraid to accept it for our lives. Sure, it can be painful. We'll talk about this some more in just a second. But the reality of the truth is what saves us and guides us to an everlasting relationship with God. And so the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Speak the truth with your neighbor. Tell your neighbor the truth. It may hurt their feelings. It may be not what they want to hear. It may demand that they change the way they're acting or behaving or speaking. But that's the truth. It may demand a change in their faith. It probably will if you tell them what the truth is from the scriptures. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor. So if we're doing this, we're not going to just repeat things that are not known to be facts, either from our own experience or reliable testimony. We're not going to just repeat things that we don't know to be actual truth. We're going to speak what God has said. In fact, course, the scriptures say, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're speaking truth, you should be saying the things that God would say and has said. We're not going to abuse the truth by, you know, flattering people to make them feel good. In Proverbs 20 and verse 19, again, the wise man there says, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Don't associate with one who flatters with his lips. The reason for that is because that's not going to be the truth, right? That's not going to be the truth. So if we love the truth, we're going to choose it, which it's found in God's word. We can study it. And I want to encourage you to study your Bibles. That's where the truth is. As we've seen already, Jesus said, God's word is truth. God's word is found in the scriptures of the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. And we need to be studying our Bibles. We encourage you to do that. As I mentioned before on the program, we've got a free Bible correspondence courses that we offer at Eastside. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. There's a banner that says study at home. Click on that and you can sign up for any one of a number of different Bible correspondence courses. You can take those online or through regular snail mail, either way, and study your Bible, because your Bible's truth. Your Bible is God's word. And that's what we're encouraging people to do. Study God's word, accept God's word, and speak the truth that's found in God's word. We need to do that in love. And this gets back to something I was touching on a little while ago. Sometimes the unvarnished truth is painful, and people find it hard to accept, but still the truth needs to be spoken. And so what the Bible tells us is to speak truth in love. If we really love folks, we're going to love the truth, and we're going to speak the truth then in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we can grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. Truth and love can go together. We can show mercy for people. We can be kind to them even while we're speaking the truth to them. The psalmist in Psalm 80:85 talks about this reality. He says, surely his salvation, talking about God's salvation, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. So here, the psalmist is describing salvation coming from God and how we can come to know him and the expression of who he is. Because in God and in his word, truly mercy and truth have met together. And righteousness and peace have kissed. So you think about doing the right thing and having peace with that. That comes together in the truth of God's word. As a result of that, truth will spring out of the earth and righteousness shall look down from heaven. That's the way it's being described. So if you have a friend that's, let's say they're overweight, and if they are overweight, they probably know that. You probably don't need to tell them that. Now, if they're coming to you and saying, you know, my weight's fine, even though that's not the case, you can't accept that. That's not true. But you probably don't need to express that truth to them in some unkind way. You probably need to, if they want you to, encourage them maybe to work on that. And you can do that in a kind way. There are obviously ways you can express the truth about your friend's weight that are very, very unkind, and there are ways that you can do that kindly and in helpful ways. I think we understand that when it comes to, you know, our weight. We need to understand that when it comes to our spiritual lives as well. Still say the truth, still say that which is needed, but in a way that encourages people to do that which is right. Sodium is an extremely active element. It's found naturally only in some combined form. It always links itself with another element. So Chlorine, on the other hand, is a poisonous gas that gives bleach its offensive odor. When sodium and chlorine are combined, of course, the result is sodium chloride, which is common table salt. So here you have two elements. One pretty, common, plain, fairly innocuous element, and another one that's a dangerous gas. But when the two of them combine, forms this substance, salt, that we use to preserve things and bring out the flavor in food and so on and so forth, and we use it in a lot of things, and it's a very helpful element. So love and truth can be like sodium and chloride. Love without truth is sometimes flighty, it's sometimes blind, it'll combine itself with a lot of different things. On the other hand, truth by itself, it can be offensive. It can be noxious. Spoken without love, it can turn people away from what they need to be doing. But when truth and love are combined in an individual or in a church, then we have what Jesus called the salt of the earth. We're able to preserve and bring out the beauty of our faith. So if you claim to be a Christian, first of all, what we've learned this morning is you must believe in absolute truth, because there is an absolute God, an unchanging Jesus, and His word is truth. What we found out this morning is that we need to be loving and seeking that truth found in God's word, studying God's word so that we can come to a knowledge of truth that is absolute, not trying to spin it, not trying to adjust it to meet our already chosen lifestyle or what we want to do or like to do, but just looking at the true, unvarnished nature of God's word, accepting that, and then sharing that in ways that are kind and loving, but sharing it nonetheless. You see, God is coming to judge us with His truth. Psalm 96 and verse 13 says, He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. God's going to judge all of us by His truth. And His truth is not a flexible thing, as we've already talked about a good bit this morning. He's going to judge us by His truth. And if we don't love His truth, we don't seek His truth, we don't abide in His truth, we're not going to come out very well in that judgment. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible talks about how that there are those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's a really sort of jolting statement from Scripture, isn't it? That there are those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So I think everyone this morning, each one of us, needs to examine our hearts. Do I love the truth? Do I love the truth of God? Do I understand that there's an absolute truth about God, about His will for my life, that's found in His word? Do I love it? Am I going to seek it? Am I going to do it? Am I going to live it? Because if we don't love the truth, we're not going to be saved. And no matter what we may think about ourselves, if we don't love the truth, we're not saved. If we don't love the truth. I want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast again this morning. I hope that you'll be a seeker of truth and a lover of truth. And as you live out this week, that as you strive to walk the way that leads to life, you'll seek the truth and find the truth and live the truth. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside, or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org.